How do you like me now? Welcome to the podcast that always takes it there. I'm your host, T, from the infamous TBlog.com, and now I reside right here on the T Podcast to entertain all of you. Some say I have a way with words. Some call me the Tom Brady of blogging, the Conor McGregor of podcasting, even the white Tupac of screenwriting. The King of the Bean, a.k.a. Boston. The man who is always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now let me do what I do here, and that is to entertain the shit out of all of you. Today is Tuesday, June 18th, 2019. Welcome to the Tea Podcast. This podcast today is going to be short and to the point on three Boston-centric topics that have national implications, global implications, if you will. And I'm going to get right into it. I'm recording this on the weekend before the 18th, obviously, as you all know that I do. Given my schedule, I record over the weekend or anytime I could get recording time with B-Lo. And then this comes up the week after, or sometimes the day after, depends on when I record. I'm coming out of a week that a lot of Boston news, actually almost 2 weeks, and I'll get into that last topic in a second. The three topics, obviously, what's been going on with Boston? Well, I think it's more sports related, if anyone's been paying attention to the news or social media, and all the fucking shit that Boston has went through as far as the Bruins went. And I gotta get right into that. The Boston Bruins. The fourth team, as they're known around here in Boston, because people don't give them the love and respect that they deserve, because they were mostly the working man's team, blue collar, people hard working straight out of the trailer. They always would go to the Bruins back in the day. The Bruins were the team in the 70s and the 80s, and to an extent the 90s, the Don Sweeney, Cam Neely era, where they're now in the front office, respectively. And the Bruins, as they were doing their thing, and they weren't winning, because we won all those years without the Cup, before 2011, obviously, that was the era of when the Red Sox also sucked. The Patriots sucked. And old the Celtics sucked. The Celtics, last team to bring a title, was 1986. Then the Bruins were in the finals, well, in the Cup that year, got eliminated. The Red Sox, they were in the World Series that year. They lost to the Mets. And the Patriots went on to play the Super Bowl against the Chicago Bears in 86, and they lost. And then I've talked about here on the podcast, 15 years later, finally, another title was brought to Boston. That was 2001 by the New England Patriots. And then the double decade, because now we're going to two decades of dominance, is now title town. Boston is what you know today is the town that always wins. So let me set a precedent right here before I get into the Stanley Cup Finals. I've gone on record several times growing up in the 80s and 90s. I know what it's like to be the lovable losers. I know what it's like for Boston to lose, to always get to the end game, to get to the final, and just to lose. I'm not spoiled. I'm not the guy talking from a point of view of a lot of these millennials, Gen Zers, and all they've known is titles since 2001. I come from the era of when Boston couldn't win jack shit. So I can't sit here today and be like, oh, woe is me, you should give me sympathy, poor Boston lost again. That's not what I'm looking for. Not at all. It's quite the contrary, and I'll get to that in a second. The Bruins, to me, I have a bias to them because even though I never went ice skating, I never learned how to ice skate, ladies and gentlemen, because growing up in East Boston, I had a mitt, a glove, that's all my mother could afford, so I played baseball. It was like anywhere from $20 to $40, she could pay for that registration, I could play. We couldn't afford ice skates, we couldn't afford a stick, we couldn't afford how to learn how to ice skate, the gear, the pads, all that shit. So I never did ice skating. Street hockey, on the other hand, on foot, not rollerblades. I learned how to rollerblade when I was about 16, 17. But street hockey, I had a stick. I still got a stick right now. I got a stick with a black blade, hoping I can one day play another street hockey game on foot. I love street hockey. Pretty good street hockey. People used to call me a floater. I used to float in front of the net. I was kind of like the Brad Marchand of street hockey. Just flick it in. I had a good wrist shot. It's pretty good with that. So I love hockey. To the extent where I couldn't play professionally, obviously, because one, you have to know how to ice skate, and two, I couldn't fucking even get into any professional sport, even if I tried. So I'm realistic when it comes to my athletic abilities. Okay, baseball, I got a nice little jump shot in basketball, but I'm too fucking short for the NBA. And football, I don't think I had the size or the speed back then. So I knew exactly what I can do. Track, I could run a little fast when I was a kid, but not so much. But I've gone to the weightlifting and all that, athletic ability. Now I can do mud races. Well, I haven't done them in a while, too. Actually, I don't even know what the fuck I can do at my age right now at 41 and a half with my recent health issues and stuff. I'm content just getting my workouts in, doing some cardio, and not fucking dying because I never know what's going to happen on any given day. The Bruins, to me, with Terry O'Reilly when I was a kid, I remember being little, going down to my grandparents' house when my father's parents were alive. My papa, Papa Mully, for people who used to know him on the streets, Papa Mullinino, hardcore Italian, one of my only grandparents that came over from the old country. All the rest were born in East Boston. My great-grandparents all came over from Italy, but my Papa Mully, my father's father, he came over from Italy, and he spoke broken English the day he died. Never learned full English. He passed away when I was 10 years old from leukemia. Again, fuck cancer. Took more people from me than I care to fucking share today. And we used to go down there, down the hill in East Boston to his house. And I used to go into the living room, and just me and my papa, and the Bruins game would come on. I used to have a small blue plastic hockey stick, and we used to get foil. Foil for a kid who didn't have much growing up was one hell of a toy. Used to make little balls out of them, and those became my hockey pucks. My grandfather would sit in his ottoman, and there's like kind of like a rug that would hang over, I don't know, some sort of like a material from the ottoman that between the floor and the ottoman, those are good 3-4 inches, and that was like the net. And I had to get the puck, the foil ball, in between my grandfather's legs underneath the ottoman. That was the net. And he used to take off his slipper. He didn't beat me with the slipper, surprisingly. I know he wanted to a couple times because I'll both share that story. And I would take shots off him, slap shots. It got all over the place. It hit the window. It'd go off the fucking coffee table. And it'd go off my grandfather's forehead. It'd go off his shoulder. And I would literally be like 2 feet in front of him taking slap shots back and forth. And he would have the slipper, and he'd be a goalie. So I love doing that. I love having the Bruins on and playing that. I miss that. I miss those memories with my papa, and that was always fun to me. One time, my mother went to bingo, and I've shared this on T-Blog. And I was back home. I was at my grandfather's house, my grandparents. And my grandmother came into the living room. And I was just in the hockey zone, and I had the stick. And for some reason, I left my grandfather. I ran by my grandmother, and I hooked her. I checked and hooked her leg at the same time. She's like in her 70s, and she dropped and fell on the floor. And my father and grandfather saw this, and they jumped up, and they came after me. They wanted to fucking kill me. And I was like, oh, 5 minutes in the box for roughing. And I ran into the bathroom, and I locked myself in there. It's probably like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. They were banging on the door, wanting me to come out. They were going to beat my ass. And deservingly so. I did not come out until my mother came home from bingo that night. I could hear my mother outside the bathroom door talking to my grandparents and my father, and you know, my grandma was okay. She wasn't hurt. And again, my mother laughed a little bit because again, I got my sixth sense of humor from her. And again, I was in there for a good 2 hours, and she was done with bingo. She's like, all right, come on, we're going home. I go, are you gonna let, you know, dad and papa kill me? She's like, no, just get out of the bathroom. She goes, we're gonna go home. She goes, and I came out of the bathroom. She goes, why did you do that? I go, I don't know. And I didn't know half the time why I did so much fresh things. I go, I was caught up into it. I was in the hockey zone, and I wanted to check her. I didn't want to hurt her. I just wanted to check her. She goes, all right, go say sorry to Nan. I was like, Nan, I'm sorry. I'm gonna go with being a grandmother. And she was like, I know, you're just fucking fresh sometimes. And she hugged me, and my father and grandfather were staring at me. They were gonna kill me. I was like, all right, bye, Papa. And then I left. My father was gonna kill me in the car, but my mother told him not to. And that, to me, obviously, the Bruins were big to me as a little kid. And then as I got older, it became the Red Sox and the Patriots. And then the Bruins right now, like the third team for me, and then the Celtics. So come 2011, right, the Bruins finally won the Cup. And it was something different because we won, what, I think it was like 41 years. We never won the cup before. It was my first cup. I got to see that. And then they went back to the Stanley Cup in 2013 and they lost in the finals. And then now here we are in 2019. And once again, the Bruins are a top team and they're playing playoff hockey. In hockey, you got to win 4 rounds. You got to win 4 games each round. So when everybody else's season is done back in April, you're going deep into fucking June. You got over 2.5 months of more hockey to play. Your body's banged up. And for me, I always think that hockey players should be paid just like football. They should be right after the football players. I think football is the most brutal sport on your body. I think they should get paid the most. Then it should go hockey because they get fucked up too. It should be baseball because there's no salary cap in baseball. Then it should go probably baseball and then basketball. That's the ranking. But hockey players are fucking beast. They play hurt. I mean, Chara broke his fucking jaw, continued. I mean, that's what happens in fucking hockey. So these guys, the Boston Bruins, they turned it on this season. They turned it on come December, January, April. They became another team. They went right to the playoffs, and the path was perfect. The Washington Capitals, last year's Stanley Cup champions, are gone in our division. The Pittsburgh Penguins are gone. There's no rivalry team. There's no Canadians, but there was Toronto. We ended up getting through them, and then we had the path that we needed. And we ended up getting all the way into the finals with the St. Louis Blues. Now, I think if you're a sports aficionado or somebody that paid attention to the Stanley Cup recently, they mentioned it a bunch of times, that the St. Louis Blues never won a Stanley Cup before. They never won a playoff game before. And it was pretty much Bobby Orr in the 1970 playoffs and Stanley Cup finals who scored that game-winning goal, that famous goal where he's jumping up in the air. And they made a statue of it, and they put that statue outside the Boston Garden. And the Blues never won. So now I'm watching, right? Obviously watching the series. The Bruins, it went back and forth. They were about to be, it was 3-2, and then they win game 6 on St. Louis. They forced it. It was 3-3. They forced game 7 back in Boston. I never get comfortable. Again, now that we're title town, knowing that the Boston teams are going to win. You know, think about this. As good as the Boston era is now, we got to make it to a lot of final games, a lot of championships just to lose. When the Celtics won theirs, they went back again, and they lost to the Lakers in the finals. Look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady has gone to 9 Super Bowls. That means he had to make it 9 times. You know how many AFC championships he made it to? Lost there, then he went to the Super Bowl, lost 3 of those, twice to the Giants and again to the Eagles. So you have to make it all the way there. And let alone what the Red Sox have done. They've gone to the World Series in my era now, since 1986, and they've won all the World Series. So it takes a lot to get to those final championship games. And unlike, you know, football, it's one and done. One playoff game, one Super Bowl, and you're done. Hockey is the best of 7. So you think, I don't think, but a lot of people think because they force it, oh, it's coming back home to Boston, that it's a shoo-in that the Bruins are going to win. No. The Bruins against St. Louis, they actually were dropping the games at home. And they lost 2 of those fucking home games, the St. Louis Blues. And again, the Blues are a team that never won before. I didn't have a problem with that. It wasn't a rivalry. It wasn't like we were losing to a New York team or a team that we lost to before. Of course, I wanted a win. I wanted another cup because it takes so much to get there. I don't know if the Bruins are going to make it in the next 3, 5, 10 years. So here we were. We're watching Game 7, and I knew right away when it was 1-0 that the Bruins weren't going to win in that first period. They were deflated. That rookie, that Bennington fucking rookie, Billington, what the fuck his name is for St. Louis, wasn't letting anything go through. What took a rest of the entire fucking series and almost all season, that kid did in that one game when it mattered the most. Game 7 on the road. And the Bruins weren't scoring. At that point, they were like deflated. They were barely getting on and off the ice. There was no sense of urgency. They were passing when they should have been shooting. It didn't look like the Boston Bruins that I watched all season, let alone the playoffs. I knew when it came to the second period, the third period, when it became 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. Then they pulled Tuukka too late. They got one goal. Yay, didn't get shut out. I knew it was over. And I had to watch, and I watched that young fan, the little girl that has that disease that came all the way to Boston. When I saw that, it was tough to swallow. Like, for me, I felt good for that little girl. I felt all right for the Blues. Unlike a Patriots Super Bowl loss, which devastates me, and I was just frustrated with the way that team was playing. I didn't think they showed up at all, and they were deflated. I didn't hurt as much. It hurt watching it, and then at the end, probably going into the next morning. At some point the following day, the next afternoon, realizing that they lost. Again, it wasn't until a rivalry team. Just like the Eagles, as much as that sucked losing to them, that was their first Super Bowl. I kind of feel like, you know what, being here in Boston, winning, always going to the championship game, almost winning almost every championship game, I honestly, now at this point, I've seen so many championships. I don't mind when it's us making it there and actually losing to a team that's winning their first championship, like Philadelphia, like St. Louis. Yeah, I want to sit here like most Boston fans saying, yeah, fuck them, kid. Fuck them, bro. What the fuck you talking about? It's Boston. Boston number one, kid. No. I want to win them all. I really do. But if we're going to lose, that's the conditions I want to lose in. Give it to a team, a city, a fan base that never had it before. On the other side, the Celtics did shit in the playoffs this year. They got eliminated first round. It was cool to see, even though I don't like Drake the fan, even though I listen to his silly music, it was cool to see the Toronto Raptors win their first title because they put it on Kawhi. 1 year rental, they got that guy, and he came and he delivered a championship, and Toronto never won before. They stopped a dynasty in Golden State at the same time. So sometimes I just like to sit back as a fan and realize I'm just seeing some good quality sports. I like when that happens. It sucks that the Bruins lost, but it is what it is. Now, tying into the second Boston-centric story I'm getting into tonight, after Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals, my phone started blowing off. I don't go to my phone a lot when I'm around certain people in the company. I want to make sure I'm giving them my attention. I put the phone away. If my phone is constantly going off, of course I'll answer. I think maybe it's emergency, something wrong. I didn't really look at my phone towards the end of that Game 6. I was getting texts, I was getting tweets, Twitter updates, all this shit, sports updates. I thought it was just people talking about the game. And then immediately after game six, they cut to local news saying that Big Papi, David Ortiz, got shot in the Dominican Republic. He's from the Dominican. And people, when I went to my phone, I'm like, holy shit, now I can look at my phone. People are telling me, I've seen the updates and the texts and the tweets that he got shot in the leg. And it turned out it was a whole different thing later on. I stayed up all night looking into it and going to the next morning. But let me get back into the Boston thing. Like, I am somebody who sometimes feels like I can't go home again. I can't go back home to East Boston. Where I come from and what I do in my life now, what I live for, how well I do for myself, how hard I work. I think there's always going to be something different going home. There's always someone or something. And I get that sometimes even from friends and family with their indirect remarks or just how something, how I'm living my life, or I put a picture up from Europe or something like that. I always feel like there's always some form of jealousy. And it's true. And people really may not say they want what you have, but they sure as fuck don't want you to have it sometimes. And that sucks, because I'm not a jealous person anyways. I want everybody to do their own fucking thing. Whatever makes you fucking happy, however you measure your own success, just go do you. Don't worry about fucking me. And immediately I'm thinking David Ortiz, somebody fucking out there just jealous of what he had and he wanted to fucking shoot him. And I'm sure he goes down there thinking he's like the local hero, which to a lot of people he is. He's probably protected. Nobody could do anything to him. You think you're safe. So when I saw that, a couple things were going through my head. I watched the footage the next day of the guy just gets off the motorcycle, goes right behind him and shoots him almost point blank in the fucking back. And apparently it went through the back, went through the stomach, and it came out and hit another guy that he was with in the leg. That guy was all right. David Ortiz had to have two surgeries. Then he came back to Boston. The Red Sox sent their plane. They came and got him. He's at Mass General. They had another operation. And it went from a possible leg injury, which was initially reported. That's also what I hate about social media this day and age. People get the wrong fucking story, and they want to be the first person to share it with you. Like, calm the fuck down. Let's find out what really happened. It's just a regular person fucking tweeting, and you're citing that person as a credible news source. Are you fucking stupid? Like, do your due diligence or wait for the actual news to come in. Then it turned out that he had to get multiple surgeries, those three, and they had to take out his gallbladder. Immediately, my mom, I'm thinking of her, they took out her gallbladder that time. I know how extensive that surgery is, and she did it through cancer. This guy did it to a gunshot wound. Damaged part of his liver, and they had to take some of his intestines out, and part of his colon. I'm like, holy shit, is he gonna walk again? Is he gonna be shitting in a bag? What the fuck did you do to David Ortiz? And now that's where the anger came in. Dominican aside, it's a poor nation over there. I get the jealousy. I don't know, some people are saying that even though Ortiz is married with kids, that he was fucking around with a drug lord's wife and the guy put a hit on him. Now it turns out there were six people involved, and now some people are saying one of the guys, like, he wasn't the intended target. It's, you're never going to get the truth out of it, because just the way that that country is run down there, that island, it's all fucked up, and I don't think you're actually going to do it. The best thing now is for Ortiz to get his parents out of there, any close relatives, move them up here, don't ever fucking go back. But with all these stories that were going around, I'm over here thinking, like, man, this is fucked up. This is David Ortiz. Now, let me pull back for you who don't know much about Big Papi, right? Of course, he delivered three World Series to Boston. Yeah, he's going to be first-round Hall of Fame, no doubt. Go in as a designated hitter. He's the greatest designated hitter of all time. People get mad, oh, he only had a long career because all he had to do was bat. True, but he changed that position forever. There'll be no greater DH than David Ortiz. There were times that he carried the Boston Red Sox on his fucking back, just putting up home runs, driving them home, all these walk-off home runs and grand slams. That he did a lot for the game. He did a lot for the Boston Red Sox. He did a lot to make it entertaining with the rivalry with the New York Yankees. He also did a lot for Boston. He did a lot for the community. He's a big giving guy. He donated a lot, spent a lot of time. They got the David Ortiz Bridge named after him near Fenway Park. To me and a lot of people here in Boston, when it came to the 2013 marathon bombings, that was like this rally cry. David Ortiz, and I know you've all seen it, obviously if you've seen the shitty fucking Patriots Day movie by Marky Mark, that son of a bitch capitalizing on that tragic fucking error because he wanted to make money sooner rather than later. But David Ortiz's speech is in there. He gave that speech, and that rallying cry made the city love him, made us love each other even more, made us all have each other's backs. It did something for the city of Boston, where that year the Red Sox went on to win the World Series. What those two pieces of shit did with those bombings, hurting so many people, killing those people as well. David Ortiz, you know, gave that speech, being uncensored, right in Fenway Park, and he had sunglasses on. He's holding the microphone, took his hat off, and saying, "This is our fucking city. This is our fucking city." And Boston Strong became this rally cry behind the city. And at that point, David Ortiz went from one of our favorite baseball players, one of our favorite sports athletes to, if you did a Boston Mount Rushmore, his face would be right up there. Sports aside, maybe put up Tom Brady one day, obviously Larry Bird and some local people. I would say Manny Menino for what he did for the city, what he did for me personally. Fuck, maybe one day I'll be up on that fucking Boston Mount Rushmore. No, probably not. But for now, David Ortiz reached that level. And we love him so much around here. And we're thinking, like a lot of people, like they don't understand what goes on in the Dominican and they don't understand that lifestyle, how somebody could do that to him. But for us, it's like, how could you do that to Big Papi? We love that fucking guy. And it really hurt a lot of us here. And that, to me, I'm thinking this is what's going on top of the fucking Stanley Cup. Like, it was a tough week for fucking Boston. So right now, David Ortiz, I guess he took his first steps. His wife's issued a couple of statements that he's doing well. He's still in the hospital. Hopefully, they're saying he's going to make a full recovery. Hopefully, those bastards get sent away. Hopefully, find out who's really behind it. And that gets put to bed. And David Ortiz never goes back and he stays safe. So, Stanley Cup, Bruins, David Ortiz in the shooting. The third one I promise I'll get to. And this one's a little more serious. And I got to change the tone right now, change the direction. It's June. June is Pride Month all over the world now, right? We had the Pride Parade in Boston last weekend. And, I've talked about this here. To me, I think everyone, regardless of their race, religion, sexuality, I think you should be able to do whatever the fuck makes you happy. I think the other people who aren't happy and think that everybody has to be a certain way and wants to force their beliefs onto someone, oh, you should be this religion. Oh, you should be this sexual preference. Oh, you should act this way. You should look this way. You should dress this way. That's where I think are the real fucking problems. If everybody was just minding their own fucking business and just enjoy things for what they were, I'll tell you what. You know how fucking boring this world would be if we all look the same, if we all act the same, if we all love the same? It'd be pretty fucking boring. It really would. And Boston is one of those cities now that's really going over the top because we've been known for years as segregation and a racist fucking city, and we're not tolerant. And we had certain neighborhoods that were just all Italian or all Irish or all Black or all Spanish. And now Boston's one of those cities that absolutely embraces pride to another level. And you know what? There's a reason behind that. There's a reason why you have fucking people, gay people, that can't go out in the fucking streets and still get taunted this day and age because they can't hold hands because people think that's fucking wrong or they can't fucking kiss. Sure, the world's fucking becoming more acceptable of that, but there are people out there that actually have a problem with the fucking pride parades and Pride Month and all that stuff too. And I'm sitting back like, what the fuck does it matter to you? Let them do their fucking thing. I mean, most parades anyway, like, I don't know a lot of fucking straight people that go to parades anyway. Like, if you want to have a fucking gay pride parade, go ahead. Parades, to me, have always been fucking something where you just watch these floats go by and it's like, yeah, yeah. The only parades I fucking like are my fucking championship parades. That's the only thing that fucking entices me. So if you got a reason to go to a fucking parade to celebrate something, whether you're gay and want to go fucking go into the pride parade and celebrate and put a rainbow on your fucking face, put a rainbow on your fucking ass, if that makes you happy, then go fucking do it. The same way I'm leaving the office for a good 45 minutes to watch my fucking Red Sox and fucking Celtics and Bruins and Patriots go by and I'm taking pictures of all the fucking players. Those are my kind of fucking parades that I like fucking celebrating. There are people in my office like, oh, you're going down again. Again, I'm not comparing this to being gay in the Pride Parade, but what the fuck does it matter to you if I'm going downstairs to cheer on fucking Tom Brady? That shit never gets old to me. So it's a different way of life and things that you love and who you are, but to each their own. Go enjoy it. Now, these couple of guys, these motherfuckers that started those weird fucking protests in the Commons where it's almost like white supremacist, where they can't say that, they went ahead, and this is the point I'm getting to because this made national news, they went ahead and they put a license in. And I guess you could do it because you could put a license in for any type of parade or recognition of anything that you believe in. They want to do a straight pride parade. Again, there are fucking parades for everyone. I don't know if we need a straight pride parade. You know you're straight, right? If you're straight. You know you're gay if you're gay, right? And you kind of just do your thing every day. And if there's something that you like to do, whether you're gay or straight or fucking bi or whatever the fuck you are, just go do it and enjoy. I don't know why we have to go ahead and say, you know what? Just because there's now a gay pride parade, we must have a straight pride parade. No, we don't need to have a fucking straight pride parade. Who the fuck is going to go to a straight pride parade but some fucking homophobic, gay-hating fucking assholes. That's the only reason you want to have that fucking parade. And now you got everybody coming back and putting Boston under a fucking microscope when we're working really hard and being acceptance of everyone. We're trying to break that fucking stereotype, which I've talked about on the podcast several times before, that we're not a tolerant city. Everybody's looking at Boston like, way to go, Boston. Now you're going to have a straight pride parade. No, don't say way to go, Boston. It's three fucking asshole, ignorant fucks that want to have the straight parade. And that's going to bring out, in like every fucking city, the other assholes that want to say, yeah, you're right, we should have a straight parade. No different than the people go to those Trump rallies, that go to those white supremacist rallies, that go to the fucking Nazi rallies. There are fucking Nazis in 2019, people. Look at those southern states. No different than those motherfuckers that want to wear the Confederate flag. This is what happens when we enable that, when people worry about that. Yes, we should all have our own. If you want to be fucking straight, be proud if you're fucking straight and go enjoy that. But this intolerant shit, this adds to the hate, to the fuel, to the fire that makes people go and protest, and they have reason to protest, and then you think you have a reason to state your way of living, the way you choose to live in love, and that's when people fucking clash. And that's when they talk about adding fuel to the fire, adding more to the fucking hate. There are certain things the world can go without. In Boston, having a straight pride parade is something that we can go without because it makes no fucking sense. There's no need for it. There's a need for Pride Day and gay pride because those people have been fucking disrespected and hated on. They can't go fucking down the street even in 2019 without being judged. Ain't nobody fucking walking around straight being judged. Oh, look at you. You're kissing a girl for being a guy. That doesn't happen. So you gotta understand why there's a Pride Day and a Pride Month and a Pride Parade, right? Do we need a straight parade in fucking Boston? No. You're just fucking putting a bad lens on Boston yet again. That this city's working really hard. We got enough shit going on in Boston. With the accent, people hating us because of our sports teams, because of Tom Brady. Motherfuckers are shooting David Ortiz. And now we got our own people here that want to do something like this. I don't fucking get it. I know I don't speak for all Boston. I speak for myself. Maybe I speak for the majority. People outside of Boston listening to this. Boston, everybody around here, let me just say this. Regardless of your race, religion, whether you're straight, gay, bi, everybody has a little bit of asshole in him or her in Boston. We are assholes in a way that we're wise asses, that we toot our own horn, that we showboat, that we have pride in our city. We do that. We're usually not assholes to each other, but just like every other city, you do get that one bad apple that spoils the fucking bunch. And then you're looking outside like, oh, people hate Boston fans, and look what they're doing. They segregated, they're racist, the Celtics are fucking racist. They're going to have a straight pride parade. We're not all like that. You know, your city, your country, your town, you all have your flaws too. We're just in a different lens because it's Boston. We're in movies. We have the accent. We're dominating in sports. Boston's always going to be looked at in a different perspective. We're up there. You analyze Los Angeles. You analyze New York. You analyze Chicago. You analyze Boston. It's just how it goes. I'm used to it. I don't like some of the shit that happens. Most of it I do. But sometimes there's some fucked up shit that happens in the city of Boston and it goes on a national level and you all get to know about it. But just know, this Boston guy, you hear the fucking accent. I'm talking from my point of view, like I always do in the podcast, not speaking for everyone. But I have to say here today, closing this thing because I hear Hans Zimmer coming in. Sucks about the Bruins losing the cup, but good for St. Louis. Sucks that David Ortiz got shot. I hope the people that did it, they get fucking shot in the heads too. That's right, I did say that. And David Ortiz makes a full recovery, never goes back to the Dominican. And Boston does not need a straight pride parade. That's just fucking silly. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Where to find me? On Instagram, the_T_podcast for all the podcast related shit. You can find me on the T-Blog account for all my cool pitches. A lot of Boston pitches. T-Blog, all one word. On Twitter, T-Blog, all one word. Facebook, T-Blog page, I'm on there. You can DM me, you can email me. Email me at t@t-blog.com. And of course, you can find me on the podcast here on iTunes 2 to 3 times a week. And the place to start it all, tblog.com. That's the show, everyone. Boston on the national level. Hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, always take it there.